From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 21st day of May, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, Congress delivered a blow to the ethanol industry yesterday when a House committee defeated a measure that would have banned U.S. EPA from counting indirect land use greenhouse emissions into its advanced biofuels considerations. And AFBF, that's the American Farm Bureau Federation, in response, has called on members of the House Ag Committee to stand up for corn-based ethanol and soy-based diesel fuel. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau. And at the end of the half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
Here's the way the numbers settled in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon. Futures like this: July contracted the wheat pit for the soft red, down 4.25 cents at $5.93 and a half. September at $6.19 and a half, down 4 and a quarter. And December wheat at $6.42, 4 and 1 quarter lower. July wheat in Kansas City, $6.47, down 3. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, nearby July corn, $4.24, down 2. September at $4.33 and 3 quarters, a penny and 3 quarters lower. And December, the harvest month, at $4.45 and a half a bushel, down a dollar, or rather down 1 3/4 cents. March futures, $4.55 and a half, down a penny and 3 quarters. And the May contract at $4.62 and a half, down 1 3/4. July soybean futures up 6 cents today, $11.75 on the settlement. August at $11.36 and a half, 7 higher. September 10.71, up 7 and a half. And November beans $10.23 and a half, 9 cents higher for the day. January futures at 10.25, up 8. And the March at 10.12, up 3 for 2010. July bean meal futures at $3.79.20, up $4.40. July soybean oil at $37.98, down 39 cents. June live cattle futures, $82.52 and a half, 30 cents higher. The August at $83.22 and a half, up 35. May feeders unchanged at $98.90, and the August at $101.67 and a half, 2 and a half lower. June lean hog futures at $65.22 and a half, $1.25 lower on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil, July futures, $61 and a nickel. Settlement price, 99 cents lower on the afternoon. August at $61.81, down 81. June ethanol, $1.70 and 7 cents, 1 2/10 lower. Natural gas traded the June at 3 7/10 lower today, 3.59 and 9 cents the trade. RBOB gasoline, June contract at $1.80 even. Just about 0.8 cents lower. And the heating oil, it's diesel fuel, down 1 6/10 cents at $1.52 and 4 cents. June propane, 73 4/10 cents, up a penny and 9 cents. And the gold futures at $950.80, settled up $13.80 for the day. The Dow currently trading just about 196 points lower at 82.26. The U.S. dollar at 80.55. That's currently trading down 1.42, and the CRB index at 242.54 is up 1.09 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looked like. It says tonight in northern Illinois, increasing cloudiness. Elsewhere, mostly clear. Lows will range from 53 in the far northern part of Illinois to 61 in the far south. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny. Highs generally will range tomorrow, Friday, from 72 in the far northern part of Illinois to 84 in the south, but in the 60s near Lake Michigan. The extended forecast has mostly dry weather expected on Saturday, although a few scattered showers may pop up in far northern and southern locations. This comes, of course, from our own meteorologist, Daniel Pounder. Scattered showers will likely become a little more numerous on Sunday, he says, especially in southern portions of Illinois and Indiana. And while some uncertainty remains in the forecast for next week, it still appears that widespread rain will fall early next week, followed by a dry period later in the week. More on the weather when we talk with Pete Levitt closer to the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Thursday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural futures markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Investor Services, rather ADM Grain Group. He's out of Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Well, it appears that in Chicago, they think the tractors are running across the state and that fields are filled with planters. What do you see?
Well, I'm not too sure they're totally filled with tractors and planters, but there are some movement. There's no doubt about some activity going on in the main states here of Illinois, Indiana, after a prolonged period of, you know, just waiting around for it to dry out a little bit. And while we're planting corn, the market's going to struggle in that environment, and that's kind of what we saw here today. It's actually, you know, the market, as interesting as it is, we worried all winter about not having enough corn acres, and the market's now more worried about not having enough soybean acres, and I think that's, you know, as the corn planters are rolling, the bean market is strengthening to try to stay competitive in one sense.
No, which one do you think should win out, not which one will win out?
Well, I think they'll both win out at the end of the day. It does look like we've probably dinged up the Eastern Corn Belt prospects, at least to some extent, to what I don't know for sure yet. And the market, I don't think, is quite ready to put a number on it yet either, even though you know, it is only May 21st here, and we understand that it is late, but we still have time to get this crop planted if everything breaks our way in here. So, but demand for old crop soybeans is the main focus in here, and, you know, at the end of the day, you just can't continue to sell soybeans in the export market like we've been selling them without some kind of price rationing along the line here. It's going to have to slow sales down somehow, either through higher prices or some other form, and that is what's driving the underlying forces here of the soybean market.
Well, when would you expect, what would you call rationing? I'm assuming that what we're looking at now.
But you got to find something. You got to have, you probably got to get old crop prices high enough where people stop buying old crop and then maybe begin to start buying new crop, or some people roll their sales from old crop to new crop. You know, we're in a window here. I mean, it's whether or not you want to take delivery on those beans in July, or maybe you may have to wait till October or November to take delivery. And with late plantings, we're not going to have any early soybeans. So that is what's kind of got this bean market kind of fired up in here, because there's just not going to be very many beans harvested probably until you get into mid-October.
Well, tell me about your timing counts in the beans and what kind of objectives you might have for the upside.
Well, for the most part, I think you've got to stay friendly yet for another week or two. I've kind of been looking at this first part of June time frame to kind of be on guard for maybe something to happen. I think that'll tell us whether or not the crop got planted or not by then. Upside price targets, I think on November beans, at least in the short run here, it kind of looks like something around 1075. So it does look like there's maybe 50-cent potential yet up in new crop soybeans. As far as old crop soybeans go, I think a lot of people are starting to talk about 12-something up in that 1240, 1250 area as upside potential. And with July beans here at 1175, that kind of says there's maybe 75 cents potential yet to the upside in old crop soybeans. But it's tricky in here. Anytime you get the market as overbought as you have it, you got some chart patterns here that do indicate that you may be in the final phase of a rally before you have a good setback. And then, of course, once you have the setback, you don't know whether or not you're going to go back to new highs or not. But there is some concern from that perspective. But the underlying fundamental structure of the soybean market is still very strong.
And in the corn market, if you take a look at the technicals for me there?
Technically, probably on the corn is more of a sideways congestion here. I think the way I would interpret it from a fundamental point of view, the market is just basically wanting to see how much corn we do get planted before the rains, how heavy the rains are going to be next week, and whether or not we'll be able to get back in the fields late next week and get this crop planted before, you know, June 1. So, but I think short term here, the pattern is still such that July corn could probably, you know, jump on up into this, 450, 460 area. There's a potential yet in that. You take a look at December corn, there's probably still a shot to maybe do a 38% retracement up around 485 to 490 area on new crops futures. But we'll have to see how planting goes and how the weather plays out early next week.
How are you going to put this in a sideways to upward channel or just a side? Which direction are we floating, do you think?
On corn?
Yes.
Corn's basically, I think, broken out of a triangle formation, which has the doors open to go to 550 if you would apply some of the technical applications to breaking out of a triangle formation. The widest part of the base, for example, on Dease corn is about $1.22, so you'd add $1.22 to kind of the breakout point, which I kind of view as about 4.25, and that kind of puts you up into that 440, 450, 460 range as a potential. But I think, you know, fundamentally, if we're going to do that, we're going to have the market's going to have a good, solid reason that maybe the last 5% of the crop did not get planted. Some kind of survey that would suggest that the crop is going to be much shorter than demand. So I don't know if we got strong enough demand to withstand that kind of price. So it's going to be interesting because the end users just don't have the money to step up and buy this market as aggressively as, you know, the fund crowd did here a year ago.
Dan, thanks much for being with us.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You know, a couple of quick notes. I called my brothers just to check to see if they were planting in Logan County, Illinois today. That's near Springfield, and the answer is yes, they got in the field yesterday. The other is, if you're out there, I know you're going to work late, so take a nap when you can, probably twice in a day, maybe 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the afternoon. That'll help you stay safe. Dave Dickey's here now to take us through the news for the day.
In agricultural news, the ethanol industry yesterday lost a chance to limit the potential blow from a U.S. Environmental Protection Agency proposal for measuring greenhouse gas emissions from biofuels. By a 36-20 vote, the U.S. House Energy and Commerce Committee defeated a measure to ban the EPA from taking into account ripple effects around the world of plowing up land to make room to grow the plants used in biofuels. Under a 2007 law, to qualify as an advanced biofuel, each type must have greenhouse gas emissions that are at least 50% lower than the emissions associated with 2005 levels in ordinary gasoline. The EPA is developing a standard for measuring emissions. Meanwhile, the American Farm Bureau Federation is calling on the House Agriculture Committee to become more aggressive in defending agriculture's possible role in in offsetting greenhouse gas emissions. The Farm Bureau has asked staff from the House Agriculture Committee to become more engaged in the legislation and possible ramifications for farmers and livestock producers. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association says the U.S. continues to export just a fraction of the beef it once did to Japan because the country's import restrictions continue to block about $1 billion worth of trade each year. The U.S. exported $305 million worth of beef to Japan in the first 4 months of 2003. During the same period this year, the U.S. exported $71 million worth of beef to Japan. Japan quit buying U.S. beef altogether in December of 2003 after the first case of mad cow disease was discovered in the U.S. In July of 2006, Japan partially reopened its market to imports from the U.S., allowing in only beef from cattle under 21 months of age at slaughter. NAF Beef says increasing the age limit on cattle to 30 months would mean that more than 90% of U.S. cattle would be eligible to provide beef for export to Japan, up from the 25% that is eligible now. USDA says that up to 3 million acres of cropland could go unplanted in North Dakota due to cold, wet weather that followed spring flooding. Unplanted acres could range from 1 million acres, the USDA's previous estimate made before the Red River crested last month, to 3 million, based on past wet years. North Dakota farmers usually seed about 20 million acres, mostly in the spring. Farmers in North Dakota planted only 31% of the spring wheat crop by May 17th, a sharp drop from the five-year average of 87%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. Now, up next, in today's Listener Opinion Forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochka says young American farmers are going greener.
As farming practices evolve, Illinois' young farmers are finding it easier to go greener than ever before. A recent survey from the American Farm Bureau Federation confirms this. The survey also shows that America's young farmers are strong environmental stewards, with 65% saying that balancing environmental concerns with economic concerns is critical to their operations. Survey participants also use a number of management practices to increase conservation and environmental stewardship on their farms. Conservation tillage ranked highest on the list, with 54% of those surveyed using this production practice. Soil and tissue analysis also are important to young farmers, with 52% of them employing it. Protecting the soil has always been a priority for Illinois farmers. Illinois leads the nation in no-till adoption, with more than 62 million no-till acres. Iowa comes in a close second with 55 million acres. I am positive our young farmers will not only continue this practice, but also will explore new and exciting ways to be good stewards of the land. The survey points out that 45% of young farmers said they plan to plant biotechnology crops. According to the National Center for Food and Agricultural Policy, biotech corn and soybeans increased Illinois food production by more than 1.2 billion pounds, improved farm income by more than $326 million, and reduced pesticide use by more than 12.5 million pounds annually. If you are the age of 18 to 35 and have an active interest in agriculture, I encourage you to join your County Farm Bureau Young Farmer Program and discover new opportunities to network, socialize, and impact the future of American agriculture. Learn more about the Young Farmers Program by calling your County Farm Bureau and ask how you can get involved. This is Amy Rochkis with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochka's comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just give us a call at 217-333-0850. You know, USDA, unlike many in the trade earlier this spring, thinks the price of soybeans will be lower this year than last, at least on average, down some 4.1%. I'll have more on the May world supply and demand estimates with University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist, Daryl Good.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
USDA is predicting the average cash price farmers will receive for the soybean crop being planted this spring will be about $9.45 a bushel. Well, that's down 40 cents or 4.1% from the current marketing year's average cash price of $9.85. The World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, or WASDE report, released May 12, left the air out of quite a few folks, says University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good.
The market kind of read the soybean report as stocks down sharply, but not as much as we thought they could be. And so there was not a positive reaction to that smaller number. And for 2009-2010, more acres, higher yield, bigger crop, and a rebound in South American production gives you a much more abundant supply situation, at least at this juncture. None of the crop is harvested here and none of it is planted in South America, but the picture being painted is a return to more abundant supplies on soybeans.
The Ovalle Ag Economist says the early season price increases in the soybean market, coupled with the latest USDA report, suggests the market has done just about all it needs to do for the moment to lure U.S. farmers into planting more acres of the crop, and that the weather is doing too much on that front.
I think the pendulum really now has swung towards the corn side, saying that, there's probably more of an opportunity there for further price rallies in corn. It's a little bit curious. While USDA does project a farm average price in a pretty big range, everybody tends to focus on the midpoint of their range. Last year, we averaged 420. This year, 420. A much tighter stock situation next year, and the midpoint of the range is 410, and the market's currently at 440. So it feels like the USDA is maybe a little too conservative on their corn price forecast, although, again, they forecast that in a pretty big range, suggests to me that the price may be towards the higher end of the range rather than the midpoint of what's being forecast.
Again, that midpoint for corn is $4.10, with the high end at $4.50. USDA's average cash price range for soybeans in the coming season is $8.45 to $10.45. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. By the way, you can read Daryl Good's take on the commodity markets anytime you'd like on the website called FarmDoc. It's at farmdoc.uiuc.edu. It's easier just to search Google for FarmDoc and look for Daryl Good's commentaries. Hey, in just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt about the weather. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Illinois' unemployment rate jumped to 9.4% in April as companies continued to shed thousands of jobs. The number of jobless claims increased by more than 24,500 last month, bringing the total number of unemployed Illinoisans to 619,500, the most since August 1983. Most of the jobs were lost in the manufacturing and business sectors. Last month's revised Illinois jobless rate stood at 9.0%. The national unemployment rate was 8.9%. A federal lawsuit claims a former Central Illinois teacher, already convicted of sexually abusing students, put two of them through strange rituals mimicking online pornography. The two students were in John White's first-grade class in the school district in Normal. White is serving 60 years in prison for sexually abusing those girls and nine students at Urbana's Thomas Paine Elementary. The lawsuit filed May 7th claims that sexual activity reported in White's class in Normal is closely linked to pornography he looked at while at work. The lawsuit accuses White and Normal school administrators of, among other things, violating students' civil rights. School officials didn't return a call from the Associated Press. University of Illinois trustees have voted to radically remake the school's 18-month-old global campus after it failed to draw the thousands of students expected. Trustees meeting in Chicago have voted to follow a loose faculty plan to scrap most of the current version of Global Campus. Trustees say the details about how to do that will be worked out between now and July. U of I President Joseph White told trustees that the faculty plan is the best way forward for online education in Illinois. The virtual school will be brought under the close control of the university's three brick-and-mortar campuses. A proposal for a community-wide fiber-optic broadband network will be laid out for citizens of Champaign-Urbana tonight. Such a program would take advantage of federal economic stimulus grant dollars, funding up to 80% of the cost. U of I Director of Networking Mike Smeltzer says such a big broadband connection would provide a faster and more cost-effective option than what's currently offered. An informational meeting is set for 7 tonight at the Champaign Library. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Thursday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural weather forecast with Pete Levitt. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Yes, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me how the weather's going to throw out for the weekend. We've heard rain, not rain, rain on Saturday, Friday, Monday.
Oh, it's not all that bad early on. It starts to deteriorate on Sunday and Monday. We have a weather front that's dry currently now, extending from about the central Great Lakes southwestward through Iowa, southeast Nebraska, then into Colorado. And there's a low-pressure system aloft over the far southwest, so there are little summer monsoon activities getting started a little early, southeast Arizona getting some showers. Another major low-pressure system is over Florida. It's been there, actually it's moved southwestward into the eastern Gulf of Mexico, and that's been producing enormous amounts of moisture in the Florida Peninsula the last few days, so they've had the real wet part of the pattern. Meanwhile, just beautiful weather across the southern plains, the central plains, the eastern Corn Belt states, temperatures in the 80s today. We're going to see the same tomorrow. Meanwhile, that front that's not showing any activity at all to the northwest will stay up there for a day or so and gradually pick up some moisture. Then we'll see the moisture coming up through the Mississippi Valley from that system in the Gulf of Mexico, and that's where the trouble starts, and that sort of provides some uncertainty in the forecast because it's the speed with which this occurs that's causing some problems with is it going to rain on Sunday or is it going to hold off. My thought is that it rains on Sunday, working up from the south. The system to the northwest, that front will start to get a little active, too, as moisture reaches that frontal system over Iowa and Wisconsin and dips into northern Illinois. And then the whole thing goes into the tank Sunday night and Monday as we get a rich flow of moisture in there. Lots of rain again in Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, same old spots. So this dry spell we've had and will have for another day or two, I hope they got those planters working this week, which has been the problem in the Midwest, the eastern Corn Belt states, and the next rains are going to shut things down again by Sunday afternoon.
And so you said this one will work up from the south. That's different than what we've seen. From the south, how far north do you think it'll get on Sunday?
Oh, I think it gets a combination of this moisture from the south. The heaviest rain will be in to the south and in southern Illinois, probably the core of the precipitation in southeast Missouri, and that will get up, cover most of the state, actually, in combination with that front to the north, which may recede a bit, but the moisture is coming in. And so the Sunday through Tuesday picture is for lots of rain, Missouri, southern two-thirds of Illinois, southwest Indiana, and down through the Delta region, into Mississippi, Alabama.
Let's deal with Illinois and Indiana on that, and we've got about 45 seconds. Lots of rain in the category of more than an inch?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, on this one, we probably get the one-inch line up to close to Chicago. Maybe extreme northeast Illinois will only get a half inch, and then we'll see anywhere from 2 to 3 inches from about I-74 southward, the heaviest rain again in the southern part of the state.
Okay, thanks much, Pete.
My pleasure.
We'll talk with you again next week. That's Pete Levitt, meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Thursday afternoon, and we'll return to talk to you again tomorrow during the Closing Mark Report at 6 after the hour of 2 o'clock Central Time on most of these stations.